Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and said, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all will see it and begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build, and he is not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you've not given up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Weeks ago, I stood here before you to kind of unpack a very difficult passage, also in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus was bringing fire and division upon us. And the title of that sermon for me was The Cost of Discipleship. Well, once again, this sermon could be a sequel. We could call it The Cost of Discipleship 2, right? But sequels don't usually do too well, do they, in the box offices? So I decided to call this sermon Putting God First. Now, we just heard it said, and I'm going to read it again because some of the kids didn't get it, but I know you all got it. So I'm going to read it again. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, as I told the kids, and they picked up on this really quickly, so I'm sure you will too. That doesn't sound like our Jesus of love and mercy and forgiveness, does it? So what's going on with Jesus in this? Well, as you heard, Jesus is using hyperbole. It's not a word we use in everyday conversations, you know, unless you're an English major or maybe a writer, okay? It simply put, hyperbole are statements and claims that are not to be taken literally. They are used sometimes to get someone's attention or to stress a point. Jesus uses hyperbole as well as metaphors and parables to, and I dare say even sarcasm, to make his point when he's talking to the crowds and to his disciples. We have God's inspired Word of God in our Bible, right? And we read the words, but sometimes it's hard to interpret what the without verbal and physical cues to help us determine what the true meaning of the words are. But we can be confident that Jesus is using hyperbole in this passage because of the many other passages where Jesus talks about loving others in our lives, even loving our enemies, right? We remember that. Jesus also showed us many times in Scripture that his love for others, and that is why when we hear Jesus say that we must hate our families, we know that he is doing this just to get our attention. So after he gets our attention, well, there's another hyperbole that Jesus does in Matthew. I wanted to tell you about that one too. It's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 24. And Jesus says this, "And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, how many of you have ever seen a camel or ridden a camel? they're pretty darn big, aren't they? They're bigger than our horses. If you've ever, I've ridden a camel, and when you get off of one of those things, you can't walk for a week. It's like they're wide, they're tall, it's really, can you imagine that going through an eye of a needle? Now, I don't, for you young people, you probably don't have a problem with this, but I can't even thread any kind of thread through a needle with my bifocals. A camel going through a needle's eye, impossible. You see, Jesus was exaggerating in that verse too, using hyperbole to get his disciples' attention. And man, did he get their attention. So they asked Jesus, well then, who can be saved? And he said to them in loving fashion that Jesus usually uses. He says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So going back to our passage today, Jesus is not really telling us to hate people closest to us. So then, what is Jesus doing in this passage? Well, after Jesus has gotten the crowd's attention, Jesus goes into a series of questions about being prepared and weighing the cost of doing something. And that something is being his disciple. The situations and questions that Jesus proposes are things that his audience would understand in his time. You see, Jesus knew he was heading for the cross, to his death. And being Jesus' disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, especially right after his death and resurrection, was not going to be an easy time to be Jesus' disciple. Persecution, separation from your family, and even possibly death awaited the early followers of Jesus. Jesus wanted his followers to really evaluate the cost it would take to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior in his time. Jesus didn't want his followers to hate their family, but he was trying to prepare them for the real possibility that putting God first in their lives was going to cost them personally. So what about today? Is there a cost to putting God first in our lives? If we really, truly put God first in our lives, then the answer is yes. There is a cost. Here in the United States, we may not be facing persecution or death to follow Jesus, but there are places in the world that happen still today. But we may be facing loss or social status or wealth. Just a little bit about myself is back in 2004, I felt a strong call to ministry. I retired from my 24-year career at Texas Instruments working as a senior business analyst. I did this in order to take a full-time position, as a Christian education director at an Episcopal church in the Dallas area where I was living at the time, so I could attend seminary. Now, my cost to follow Jesus in that calling initially cut my salary around $70,000 a year. That'll change your life. My oldest son at the time was a teenager, and I just remember him saying, "We're going to be poor." We weren't. But moving forward in my ministry, there were no guarantees that I would be ordained. There was, let alone be a rector of a church. It was a leap of faith. And many bumps along the way where I questioned my calling. Being a follower of Christ does not mean that you will not have trouble in your life. Jesus is trying to get our attention today using hyperbole. He is trying to get us to think about putting God first in our life and the cost it would bring with it. But there's also many blessings also. Too often, and me included, we can go with the flow in life and never take any time to evaluate what we are doing, where we are going, and who we are following. Jesus finally tells us in our scripture, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Again, he's using hyperbole. Jesus doesn't mean that we have to sell everything we own, but he is clear that nothing in our life can be more important than our relationship with God. God must come first. And because God is first, others and things in our life have to come second. Remember the two commandments that Jesus gave us? First was, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. We can't skip over the first and just go to the second. We cannot forget that first commandment of Jesus. God has gifted all of us with a great capacity to love. Loving God first does not mean we have to exclude from loving ourselves or others in our lives. Yet sometimes Jesus needs to get our attention, reevaluate our direction. We all get off course in our lives sometimes. But God loves us so much that he can find forgiveness and course correction along our journey. I pray Jesus' hyperbole today got your attention. We all need to take some time to look inside, to question where if we are truly putting God first in our lives. When we put God first, we are very much blessed. Maybe not in the way of the world blesses us with money and power, but in rewards that are eternal. And I know I have told you all this a billion times. You got it. But God always has your back. You see, I can do hyperbole too. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God loves you even when God loves us when we mess up and forgives us. Knowing all this about God, doesn't it make sense to put God first in our lives? Jesus asks us to think about where God falls in our life. My hope is that we put God first, and even if there is a cost to pay for in our lives, it'll be worth in all the blessings that we get from God in return. Amen.